Okay, so I think that what we ought to do now, or let me just really quickly review a few of the things that we did last time. So last time, the most important things that we did is in the A twist, pure H theory, we described a couple of different boundary conditions. The first one were these, was the Neumann boundary condition, which we identified with the trivial action of G on the category of vector spaces. And we also identified the Dirichlet boundary condition, which is supposed to just be the action of G on the Fekaya category of T star G. And then we also learned that that the Neumann boundary condition has deformations, and the in particular, there are other actions of G on that, which are the same thing as homomorphisms from chains on the base loop group into the Hochschild cohomology of vect, which is just C. And these things all factor through the zeroth homology of the loop space, which is just the group algebra on the fundamental group G. So in particular, we see that these things are in bijection with characters of pi 1 or G, or these things are in bijection with elements at the center of the Langlands-Sewell group.
The identification of the Dirichlet boundary condition, was that the one where we had to make an assumption that the bad category was factorial for the Lagrangian correspondences?
We had to do that at the beginning. Well, I mean, we did that a lot of time. Like,
that's kind of like just always about like sitting in the.
Yeah. But actually, I think this one you can actually just write down explicitly, because I think that you can write down that the Hochschild homology. Well, when I compute the dual of this, I'll tell you what the Hochschild homology stuff is. And then we also said that they had, and then like any class, where it also, and then we learned that D has deformations by elements of a point, although I wasn't very good at describing what those deformations are, but they'll be more clear in a second when we go to the mirror. And then we learned like what the 3D mirrors of these things are. And so the 3D mirror, again, is this B-twist of the Rozansky-Witten theory on the space EFM of G, which we're going to study this space in a lot more detail this time. But this thing is the regular elements in the cotangent bundle to the Langlands-Sewell group, symplectically reduced using the adjoint action. And so these things, So let me actually notate these things with an A, say that they're the boundary conditions in this A twist. And then we computed what the mirrors to these things were. So the mirror to the Neumann boundary condition was the Dirichlet and the B-type twist. So let me describe what that is. That is just the reduction of the cotangent fiber at one. Let's see, like one times G dual rag mod G is a certain Lagrangian in here. So you should think that inside of here I have the cotangent fiber at one, and then I can just symplectically reduce it by G in order to get a Lagrangian inside the BFM space. So I think it's basically the cotangent fiber at one. And then the second guy that we found is that if I take the mirror to the A-type Dirichlet, I get the B-type Neumann. And that thing is just corresponding to this Lagrangian that I was calling C. It's just the spectrum of the equivariant homology of G. So, right, the space has a third description, also the spectrum, the G equivariant chains in the loop space. So, if I specialize those equivariant parameters to zero,
in the Dirichlet, is the GIT equation by the Langlands-Jewell group?
Yeah, because that's the only thing that ever makes any sense.
Yeah,
sorry about that. There's a lot of times when I'm going to screw up. Forget to write for long ones. Okay, and now you can like ask like what are like these like naive like deformations or like variants. So if I want to. So points in the center of the Langlands-Jewell group, I can base. So if I have, let me just put this on. So better variant, the fuller picture, is that if I have a point, so I have like vect Q, the Q is a point in the Langlands-Jewell group, or I guess I could call this thing like Neumann Q, then this thing is going to be nearer to the cotangent fiber at Q in the Langlands-Jewell group, symplectically reduced by the Langlands-Jewell group. So basically changing this, so basically I have these different actions of G on vect labeled by points Q in the Langlands-Jewell group. And so for each, rather than taking the tangent fiber at one, you just alter the picture by taking the tangent fiber at Q. And then these things, these deformations of Dirichlet, so if I change Dirichlet by deforming this Fakaya category by some class here, then this on the other side is just going to go to C plus the graph. So like these things are just gonna shift. So So if you think of this C as being like the zero fiber of the cotangent bundle of G, then like this, these classes just shift that cotangent bundle like up and down. So in the abelian case, right, you have your cotangent bundle. This guy C is the zero section, and then if you have a function on C, sorry, it should be C plus composed of the logarithm, then you can use that to get a function on to check, and then this one would be the shift. So this one is Dirichlet, so it would be Dirichlet. So this again is like kind of less like a. So this is kind of what we worked out during the last. During the last time. Let me just make like some observations. So this again is an observation we made last time. So if you have G acting on C, then forgetting the G action, is mirror to intersecting your Lagrangian. Whatever the mirror to this this category is with C. That's just because the Dirichlet boundary condition on the A side is the thing that forgets the action. And then on the mirror side, you will get a Lagrangian out of this category, and you can try and intersect it with this core. And like that will be the that will be sort of the mirror to this operation. But in particular, some Lagrangians don't intersect the core. So that means that there must be boundary conditions for the A-type gauge theory. That have no underlying category. So that means that we've said that there are like that one class of, so what our ansatz has always been that the boundary conditions for this A twist of pure gauge theory are categories with a G action. But on the other side, and if we had such a thing, to get the underlying category, you would pair with Dirichlet. But on the mirror, if we had the boundary condition for the B-type gauge theory corresponding to that category, to get that category back, we would intersect with the zero section. But like it's very clear that in this Rozanski-Witten theory, there are Lagrangians here that don't intersect.
But it would be better to label boundary conditions by the intersection with all the big size.
Yeah, and that's basically like what, So the Telemann's prescription is that you need a category together with like knowing all of its deformations.
Because intersecting boundary conditions with big size gives you like a category with a mass deformation. Suppose establish some categories.
So what it does, so it gives you the thing, it gives you whichever theory is supposed to have. So if you look at the family where you intersect with all the d size, that should be the thing whose local operators is the equivariant quantum cohomology.
Right, so it's not a different kind of equivariant. equivalent for Kaya.
Yeah, well, but different than the gate for Kaya. Like,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it should be the thing with
the masses.
Yeah.
Real masses or complex masses. Mass deformations anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, are the mass deformations labeled by this?
Yes.
Okay, so these things, yeah.
Did this thing have an intrinsic definition before you discovered by intersecting with xi?
So I think that, like, wait, what are you asking?
I don't say clearly you define an operation now on categories with the G action. You take the category, you transform it into a boundary condition and intersect with xi.
Oh yeah, you can try and define the yeah, so basically like on this side, you can ask like what does it mean to deform categories by classes here?
Yes.
And then you could try and like move them down to the zeros or like you could I think you can define everything on this side. But it has a very abstract definition just in terms of deforming.
I mean, just asking if in the theory we developed to discuss 2D theories, like a model, right?
Yeah.
These masses were already understood.
Sorry, you're telling me that they are already understood?
No, I'm asking.
I think that there's some. Kevin tried to claim that they were understood the last time, but I didn't understand. So this is the part, these guys are the things that I just don't understand. I understand them on that side of the equation. I don't understand them on the A side. So this is the thing that I would most like somebody to explain to me.
You say that perhaps a category with the G action should really be something more than what you said before, but should include this.
Yeah, and that's basically what Telemann's prescription kind of is. Basically, he says that, yeah, you should look at what are the intersections with all the D size. And that's knowing all these mass deformations. Yeah, okay, so this is the thing, okay. All right, but let's go ahead and examine this BFM space in more detail. So we'll have more knowledge of of what this thing is. So the yeah. So this thing is yeah. This rag G-language tool. Notice that the moment map. For the adjoint G action has a zero fiber given by the following space. So it's what people call the scheme or the group scheme of regular centralizers. So it's all pairs of a G and an element of G dual, which is regular, such that G psi, G inverse, so we'll need to use this description a little bit more. So then this guy, of course, is just really the group scheme of regular centralizers mod the Langlands-Gould group action. The second thing.
Sorry, why is it mod the Langlands-Gould group? I really expect it to be.
Sorry?
This is one of these things that I like.
Oh, adjoint.
It's for some reason I thought the BFM space was spec of the equivariant homology of the Microsmanian, and that was actually that spec of that was the root scheme of regular central license, not a quotient thereof.
I mean, it just depends on what you mean by regular. Group scheme of regular centralizers, right?
What type of quotient is this? Is this like...
This is just a...
quotient, or is this a...
This is a... so this thing is a compact... this is just an ordinary quotient. So I'm doing a... symplectic reduction of the space.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to impose the zero level of the moment map, and then divide out by. I mean, if this definition is, this is literally the definition of the symplectic quotient. This is the right. This is the right thing.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it's basically about whether you think the group scheme of regular centralizers lives over G dual mod G, or whether you think it lives over G dual. That's the difference. So there's this thing lives over this.
Oh. Okay. I usually think for me, a group scheme of regular centralizers is usually a thing that I've already descended, so this is just doing that descent.
Yeah.
Sorry, cool.
Yeah.
We agree.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just basically about you only need to know the conjugacy class to know the centralizer.
Yeah.
Okay, so notice that this thing space has two projections. So the first one we call. Pi vertical. So this one comes from the projection for some reason Telemann calls these things the opposite of what I would call them. So you have something that you should call pi horizontal, which comes from the projection onto the zero section, which just takes you to conjugacy classes. And then you also have a vertical projection, which takes you down to G drag mod G, which is, of course, just P mod W. And these two projections are going to become very important. So in the other model, where this thing is the spectrum of the equivariant homology, so the equivariant chains on the base loop space, this projection is onto the spectrum of the equivariant cohomology of the point. Okay, so I'm just gonna need to use these things a lot, so I just wanted to establish some notation for them. And then the space C that I've been talking about over and over again, this thing is just it's going to be useful in a minute that if I have a point in the center of the Langlands dual group, that I'll also want to introduce notation called lambda q for the pi. For the pi h inverses of the q's. And once I have that notation, I can do a little bit better describing these things. And then this thing will end up being this one will be the pi b inverse of c. All right. So now, my goal for this talk, so this kind of just repeats our review and a little bit of background. So the goal for this talk is to try and explain the construction of the T equivariant mirrors to flag varieties. And the strategy, and sorry, and the person who did this is originally was Constance, let me make sure I spell her last name right, Reach. R-I-T. So she gave a construction of these things, but we're going to try and give another construction using this 3D mirror symmetry. And our strategy is that in the A twist, if I want to construct the Fakaya category, or the T equivariant Fakaya category to G mod L, I should do the following thing. So I'm going to make a family of interfaces between different gauge series. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at 3D space with like a bunch of like domain walls. I'm going to start out with like the L gauge theory. And I'm going to start out with my Neumann boundary condition with this parameter Q. As a boundary condition for gauge theory for this Levy group. Then there's going to be an interface which we're going to construct between the L gauge theory and the G gauge theory, which Telemann calls symplectic induction. So our first thing we'll do is try and describe these interfaces. Then we will try and then construct just the naive restriction from G to T gauge theory. And then we're going to pair that with Dirichlet with one of these mass deformations. And this thing on the A side, we're going to see is supposed to give us the G equivariant Fakaya category for G mod L. This parameter Q is going to control this Kähler form in some way. Real part of log Q controls the Kähler form. And there's this imaginary part, the real part of Q we talked about last time.
So L is Levi again.
L is Levi again.
So,
yeah.
Is there a, sorry, what is real, what does log Q mean? Like, did we choose a character?
Well, this is what I mean for real. Yeah, I mean, so if you have an element, so like in this example, you have a map from log, which takes you from T check to T check. And then this point C, we've decided, is a point in this T mod W. And I can just use evaluation at that point.
Sorry, what's the actual domain of this logarithm map?
This is only like holding the Hegelian case. The domain is supposed to be.
I mean, even still, when I think of the logarithm map, like generally,
let's just
like,
ignore
it's not,
this.
Like it's not a.
This is my definition.
That's fine, but now I still don't know what the thing you wrote about, like, low Q means.
Q is just a...
Q
is just a complex, is just a element in the chorus.
Right.
So it makes sense to take its logarithm. Sorry, those were different, yeah, so you can take the logarithm coordinate by coordinate.
And like I'm choosing like a specific.
So this thing is a point. You check. You have an exponential map.
Right, but that exponential map is not like injective.
Sure.
So you've chosen like some fundamental domain to map the logarithm.
Yeah, it's independent. Like these things, all these things are periodic.
Okay. Okay, cool.
So yeah.
All right. So
yeah,
it's
sorry.
Like you want, there's some reason, right? We want something in the Lie algebra T check, but it's actually invariant after shifts by like the weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
There is an interesting monodromy, like on the Pacaya categories, that is actually interesting to compute. Like that's like what's responsible for like wall crossing and stuff like that.
But the actual definition of the Pacaya category
doesn't depend
on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
if you like, yeah,
okay.
That's true. And then you can do this like mass deformation to the Pacaya category if this made sense. Whatever this thing is, so this is what the composition. So I'll explain why we expect something roughly like this to be true. And then what we're going to do is we're going to compute.
And I should specify that the normal modal equation has a monodromy too. So you can label them by Q.
Yes.
By the category of lines, you have monodromy.
Yeah. Yeah, so if I just put the boundary condition down, I don't need the. Yeah, he's saying that the monodromy is more fundamental. Like the monodromy on the Sakaya category comes from some monodromy here. Okay. Then our strategy is that we're just going to compute the mirror to all these things. So we've learned like what the mirror to this set is, so wrote it down. This thing will be this theory living on the BFM space of L. Huh? BFM T. This thing, which I'll call C. And then just the question will be, what are...
So the interface between L and G and the one with G and P, are they fundamentally...
Yeah, my picture is a little bad. This thing should be an interface. I do this in a more... Like, all these things should be boundary conditions. My picture is kind of bad. Okay, there you go. Sorry. Yes, your question?
The interface between L and G and the one between G and P, are they fundamentally different, which gives them different names that go to the direction?
These will be fundamentally different. So one of these is going to correspond to using like the flag variety as a domain wall, and one of these just corresponds to like restricting the action. And their mirrors are going to look very different on this side.
So using the flat variety as a domain wall is different from...
Yeah. I know clearly how to describe the difference when things are complexified. I don't quite understand how to do it with the real. So we're going to go through all these guys. So when I get to that point, we'll see it. Okay, so this is our goal, is to... So we understand two of these mirrors. We understand the mirrors to all the theories in the center, And we just want to understand, first, what on earth are these two operations? And then second, what are their, what are their mirrors? And then when we're done, this is going to give us some kind of matrix factorization category, which is the one that was proposed by Reich. So that's the goal, is that we're going to try and do things in this way. There are like lots of shadows of like this full two categorical structure where you can actually check that everything works. Like you want to just check like various like in.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So it looks like most of the meeting is in the interface between L and G, because that's the G over L manifold is like there.
Yeah, so this is, so the meat.
Oh, no, so.
Yeah, this one's pretty stupid.
But the quantity is L and G, so you put it.
This one is going to be in
a monitor.
Yeah.
Which is an actual bot of L and G.
Yeah.
Which is.
See, I was just doing this for Tutor. How do these things work? I think the thing that has both actions, I think, is just G itself.
I think L is essentially directly F or G with L gauged, right?
Yeah. I believe so. Well, we'll see. Like, I'm going to describe these things in more detail, then we can decide. Okay, so this is the whole strategy for this thing. So the
so when you see G model, it's not going to be this star G model; it's just G model.
Just G model as a Kähler manifold.
That's what I said as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I have some thoughts about like precisely what this interface is, but let's try and go through it. Okay. Okay. And so these computations shouldn't quite make sense yet. So the first one I'm actually going to describe.
Pulling up poles, I'm sorry. Okay.
Let's see it. And then. Yeah, so sorry, just now. Okay, so the first one is this induction wall. And. And this is basically comes from the fuller. So if I have a map, if I have a natural map from T to G. So this certainly induces for me a map from the loop space of T to the loop space of G. So in particular, so recall that that we have a natural, so we have our space of G categories, or sorry, our two category of G categories. If I by category C here, I can define this, let me do T categories. So if I, I can get naturally to GCAT just by tensoring with chains on the loop space of G over chains on the loop spaces. And then similarly, like, so that's what this induction is. And then there's just like an obvious restriction map, which is use. This thing also implies a map right now. Chains on the loop space of T. Chains on the loop space. G, so if you have something with a G action, it naturally has a T action. And so this, and then you have just the obvious restriction. So that's what this domain wall is supposed to be.
So that the same domain wall is seen as opposite direction, as fantastic.
Yeah, like in the two directions, yeah. Yeah, so sorry. So this domain wall is kind of like the naive induction. And then the conjecture is that this thing is dual to the following thing. So this is telling you what, so already this is enough to tell you what it's doing on the cores of my two BFM spaces, right? Because they're just the spectrums of these rings. But then now I want to give some extension to the full BFM space. Right, this thing tells me what's happening on the ordinary homology, and I want to know what's happening on the equivariant cohomology. And they claim that it's dual to the following picture. So you have the T equivariant cohomology of the base loop space for G. That thing naturally has an action, or it has an inclusion of the T equivariant cohomology of the base loop space of T. And then this thing naturally has an inclusion from the G equivariant cohomology of the base loop space of G. Because you can compute G equivariant cohomology by taking W invariance of the T equivariant cohomology. So you have these two inclusions here. So when you turn this thing around, or sorry, when you take the spec of this, then what you find is the BFM space of T, the BFM space for G, and then this space is just like the fiber product, where you have the BFM space for G naturally maps to T mod W. And then you just base change it to T. Like that's the geometric meaning of this thing here. So this wasn't very interesting. I just took the spectrum. And so they claim that the natural extension of this map on the cores is this map on the on the equivariant cohomology. That's what Telemann claims that the mirror is.
Just to understand, suppose T was the trivial group.
Yes.
Then this is the same as the Clemmerer conditions.
So if T is the trivial group.
Yes.
Then so it's an interface. So are they both supposed to be T?
No, suppose I have a T and G, right? And T is trivial. So this is actually a boundary. That's this.
Okay, so you're saying that you want a group with no torus?
T did not need to be maximal torus, right?
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, I did kind of use it here, right? When I was doing this guy, I really used it as a torus.
But does it have to be maximal torus?
Yeah, to have this inclusion.
Okay, then I will not say anything.
Yeah. But what this thing does, right, is it just takes the integrable system, right? That's T mod W.
Yes.
And then it just, this thing is just a W fold cover of this space. And then this include maps into here.
Yeah, it's a abelianization map, right?
Yeah, this is an abelianization map, yeah. Yeah, this is the abelianization map, yeah.
Yes. So I'm trying to remember which interface induced abelianization map.
So my feelings.
This should be the interface that corresponds essentially to moving in the Coulomb branch, and so that the group G reduces to L. Okay. And we just don't actually know how it looks like.
Yeah. So if these groups were complexified, here's like sort of my feeling. So in this whole thing, I've always had G be like a real group. But in the complexified groups, there's a difference between the following two Lagrangian correspondences. So there's a difference between the conormal to the graph of the inclusion. So let let I be the inclusion of the complexified group into the, sorry, the complexified group and so one possible Lagrangian correspondence between these two spaces is just the graph. One possible thing is the graph of the induced thing between the.
Sorry, the T stop B.
It would be Jose GC.
Yeah.
And that's that should be the sort of a.
So that's what this thing should be. But then this other one, where I think is going to be the difference between. So there's another interface. Which is basically like the conormal to the inclusion of BB. So BB maps into both of these, complex maps into both of these things.
Yes.
And then you can take the conormal of like that of BB.
So this uses the Borel.
Yeah.
And which one is this, the second or the first?
So this one I claim is the induction. This one I claim is test induction.
Test induction, that's fine.
So I don't know how to explain this purely in terms of real geometry.
Okay, so for now you haven't explained yet the S induction.
No. But I'm claiming that this is supposed to be the kind of difference between the two interfaces that you're seeing. So one is just coming literally from the graph of the inclusion.
Yeah, that I understand. It's just physically, it's just I take the group G, take G directly bound conditions, and I gauge L.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what this one is. And then this one is the interface where you use the flag variety as a domain.
That one is more mysterious.
Yeah. So that's the difference. So this one is, yeah, so this one's flag variety domain wall. This one is just Dirichlet engage. Yeah. OK. So that's the first guy. Let me notice a few things about this. This thing behaves very nicely on those guys I was calling lambda q. It just sends like lambda q to lambda q. Like if I'm going from like here to here. Because the way that this thing works is that if I have, or sorry, it should behave well with the with respect to these Dirichlet C's. Because this thing should send, because like all I'm doing is just base changing the integrable system. If I have a fiber of the integrable system, it just goes to a fiber of the integrable system. Like if I have like a fiber to this integrable system over T. Like, I guess if I go in like this direction, this thing behaves nicely on fibers of the integrable system, because all I'm doing is just base changing. That will come up later.
BFM space for T is not particularly.
It's just T star T check.
Yeah.
So the fibers of the integral system are just like 4i.
Yeah.
And then here, the generic fibers of the integral system are just tori. But then, like, there's some bad walls where. Things like don't behave. So like you have like the vial arrangement, and like there's bad fibers here.
Yeah, you degenerate to like tori and copies of the additive group with potentially finite group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's what these guys like. This other one is like not very well defined, sadly. Oh, let me say that this thing has an alternate model, which we'll need later, which is kind of boring. But so there's an alternate model for this correspondence, but we'll need it. And the alternate model is the following. So you have this BFM space for G, and I have just the unquotiented cotangent bundle, the regular amounts of the cotangent bundle. And always, if you have a G space, a Hamiltonian G space, and then you have the zero fiber of the moment map, that always gives you a Lagrangian correspondence between the unquotiented space and the reduced space. So if you have like G acting on M in a Hamiltonian way with moment map mu, then there's always a correspondence between these spaces. It's always mu equals zero. So if I apply that to the construction of the BFM space, like that gives me this correspondence. Then if you think of this thing as being a Lagrangian correspondence in the product, you could symplectically reduce this guy by a Borel, which I'm going to call B plus. And then that'll just quotient this, and you'll still get a Lagrangian correspondence. So this doesn't quite go to the right spot. Then I want to now try and construct a correspondence here all the way. So let's do this when L is equal to 2. Oh, sorry, I guess I only ever did this. So then I want to try and get all the way to the BFM space for T, which is, of course, this T dual. And there's a certain Lagrangian correspondence that I could construct in here, where I have my Borel, and it naturally maps to T, and it naturally maps to G. So then I can take the conormal to B plus inside of the product of G and T. That conormal will basically be like B plus times it can be identified with B plus times B plus. And then because I want it to be in here, I could reduce by B plus and get a correspondence like this. What I'm saying is I can take the conormal. This thing goes to B plus cross B plus. So I'm using like the killing form here to identify the natural complementary space. Right, you would expect a dual here.
Yeah.
But I'm using the killing form to get rid of that. It's T star T and T star.
G. It's like an opposite Borel at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. So everything that's fit so far is a choice B.
Yeah,
plus.
And then I can play the same game, whereas if I reduce this by B plus, I can reduce this by B plus. And that'll give me this like pair of Lagrangian correspondences that I've written down. Okay, and then if I think I made some mistakes, because this thing should probably have some Langlands tools everywhere in sight. It's like a real pain to get all these Langlands duals. Okay, so then there's all these Langlands duals in sites, and you can prove pretty easily that this correspondence corresponds to this correspondence. It's not like a super easy proof, but it's also like not particularly interesting, so I'm not going to do it. He repeats it in the like in the text, but at some point I'm going to need that this composition is this guy that I wrote. Okay, so it's like I'm not claiming that this is at all obvious. I'm just claiming that like if one like sits down and writes things out extremely carefully, like one can prove that this Lagrangian, this composition corresponds to that. Right? Like I like it. It's not obvious, but it's just a composition. And I'm not even claiming that it should be clear, like exactly like what to do, but
it's adventures in lead theory.
Yeah, it's adventures in lead theory. And it's reproduced in the paper, or not my element's paper. Okay, so now that means that we understand this guy perfectly. So the mirror, so what we've figured out is that we've computed the mirror. So now we just need to compute the mirror here. Or well, first actually we have to define what the heck this is, and then we have to define what the mirror is. Oh, and I guess I want to claim that this conjecture you can actually check. There's like some computations with the BFN space you can do to tell you that this conjecture is true. Okay, so now let's try and do this guy. The S induction from L to G. Okay, so this one is like a total mess. So there's no, this thing is not mathematically well defined as we speak. Yeah, so there's just like no chance of making this thing real. But let me tell you what Telemann does.
You know, it's just a functor.
That's what I'm gonna try and tell you, but it's not. This functor is definitely not real. But I'll tell you what he says that the functor is. I mean, it has like it's clear like the words all make sense, but I doubt anybody has done enough work to make this thing actually be true. Okay, so what he says is that suppose you have an L category. Then what he says that you should do is you can promote this to a perverse Schober of categories over the flag variety.
What is it? Schober?
Exactly. And then you can take the Fakaya category with coefficients in the server. So in particular, if I were to put vect here, then I would just get the trivial coefficient system, and I would just get the Fakaya category of G mod L with its natural G action. But this makes no, so this, I don't, this object, I don't think this exists. You should just think that you've got some, yeah, so I mean. It doesn't make any more sense to me than it does to you.
What specifically doesn't?
I don't think that people know how to make sense of the Fakaya category with coefficients in a local system.
Okay.
I don't think that there's any definition of such a thing.
So how is it different from sort of...
Maybe you know.
No, I don't know.
So this is just my ignorance, but do the words perverse showbat actually mean something?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's true. I don't think that anybody has computed, but people have only computed what perverse showbat means on very limited...
If I act on Dirichlet, L Dirichlet, what do I get?
If you acted on Dirichlet, I think that that's supposed to get you... Sorry, isn't that what we're going to do? No. If you ask about Dirichlet, I think it just... I want to say that it should be the Fakaya cat. So I don't know what to do in general, but if you had something like the Fakaya category, I think it should give you something. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe with the trivial action, you could look at the same category, just the Fakaya category of G mod L with the trivial G action. Seems plausible.
Trivial G action. What?
Sorry, let me think about it. I don't know. I think it should give you the Fakaya category of G. Why not?
G. SO3.
See.
I think he wants some manifold with a property that the Kalev quotient by L is G mod L. You can do things like that.
Like the symplectic.
It's you shoe, right?
Yeah,
So
you think it should be the symplectic and the thing they call the symplectic induction or whatever.
So is there a manifold with the if I generate with the property? Something with the property that if I do symplectic induction by L like a G model.
Yeah, I think it's called the symplectic implosion or something like that.
So then I can try to define this interface as a sigma model on that manifold with G and L gauged. So I need a manifold which has both the G and an L action.
Yeah.
So it's an L action by L. Give me G mod L.
How does this work?
For you, I know I would make it, I would just make it bigger, triangular bigger with. Right.
Yeah.
SUK age groups.
It's something of roughly the following form. So this is just repeating what I had told you before about
a bunch of bundles in G model.
This is just repeating something about what I had said before about what kind of object this is, but an object with a Hamiltonian action of G is the same thing as a Lagrangian in this space, and so you're looking for and then you've got L mod L, and there's a natural Lagrangian correspondence.
Sorry, are you using L for Lagrangian as well?
No, I'm using it only for Levy. Oh, maybe there I was.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a natural Lagrangian correspondence here, which is you use the parabolic for the Levy. I think it's something like that form.
Okay. So if I do this for, say, SU2 and U1, I get C2.
Wait. But so then, like, what you're asking me is that is there a space, and I think that you can rewrite this thing roughly in terms of something that looks like the real Springer resolution. So in the case that this thing was like a B, it should have been P. Then this space.
I would reduce by N instead of.
So this space, you can look at G times B perp modulo B modulo G. And if you had just done the B action, this thing is a cotangent bundle to something like flag. Okay.
So what it would best be with N?
I don't know what it would be with N. Let me not like,
not,
yeah, yeah.
You
let
can
me,
imagine that there is a sigma model that does this.
No, there is, just for like formal reasons. I just like don't know off the top of my head.
This operation should be just I tensor C with the, and I think tensor product over L. I don't know how to say.
Yeah.
Which operation is composing?
Well, so we did.
Yes.
We can try and figure out a different way of saying this in a minute, but this is what element says.
Okay. So we're after a Lagrangian correspondence.
Well, we had no. It's mirror will be a Lagrangian correspondence.
Oh right now you're trying to write down that other question, right?
He's saying
the mirror and then see.
Well, he's saying like write down this functor between LCAT and GCAT.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm saying that this functor doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But it could be something like taking the equivalence of C times chi of this other space.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to, I mean, you can definitely rewrite this as taking Fakaya category of some, like, some equivariant Fakaya category of a fiber product. Like, that's going to be true for, like, sorry, in the case that this thing was a Fakaya category of something, you could rewrite this as some sort of normal Fakaya category, but I, for formal reasons, I don't know what it would be. I don't know what the right thing to say about this is. And I just don't want to think about it on the fly.
Is there a guess for what the Lagrangian correspondence between BFML and BFM?
Yeah, that's what I was going to describe. This is the space, right? This is like what I was telling you, Davide. I mean, this is the sigma, like this is the thing that it's supposed to be. But I don't know any other. Okay, so we have something that doesn't even make sense.
So when you say this is a thing, it's supposed to be, you mean if I replace B by a parabolic, the Borel by a parabolic, and T by a limit, then that's what
it's supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be, the symplectic induction should be, might be, GC. Somehow he gets to this kind of a description. If this thing is vect, this thing is, if this is vect, so in the case that this thing is vect, it's just supposed to be the ordinary for Fakaya category. This is all we're going to use. And if I did a vect q, it would go to one of these ones where I take the real part of log q.
C is vect. I'm supposed to somehow say that I'm like taking the Fakaya categories of
with the trivial coefficient.
Trivial coefficient.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I do this by a product? Wait, sorry, is cross with L
knows what that means. Like. Look, like, this thing doesn't make sense. I don't want to spend my time trying to make sense of it. Like, it has this property.
I have only one more question to Arian, which is that supposed to be fiber product or associated?
It's supposed to be associated.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So,
Not that it's like, oh, well, now that makes sense. But just like,
Sorry. So the way that this thing is supposed to be interpreted is G is a principal bundle over G mod L. So if you had a category with an L action, there should be some operation that associates a category over G mod L.
Okay.
I don't know actually like how to build such a thing. Like this is just some formula that probably.
Right. But now it makes more sense to me why the idea would be that if you plug in vect, you get trivial.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry. So maybe the right notation for this thing might be like Z of C to like match the notation of it, like a vector bundle and a principal bundle over X and be like Z of P. Oh, sorry, so it's the other way, C of G.
Sure.
But the point is that like this thing doesn't make sense. And then this thing doesn't make sense. This whole expression doesn't make any sense. But except in the case when you're plugging in one of these.
Yeah.
Then like everything does make sense, and you're just getting a Fakaya category with a D6.
Okay.
So what this does on arbitrary objects, no one knows. But what it does on these, it's pretty clear that this expression specializes to this. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. I mean, So this is why Ben didn't want to do this paper. There's like lots of things in it which are just like somebody should build a theory of the Fakaya categories with coefficients such that this becomes true. But then like one can try and compute like what the mirror is, but I, in order to describe it, it's gonna be conjectural dual actually to an inclusion of the BFM space for L into the BFM space for G. And so these two things are symplectic manifolds and the graph of an inclusion is a Lagrangian. So the corresponding Lagrangian is just the graph. Sorry, if you have if you have like a symplectomorphism, then its graph is Lagrangian.
I'm confused. Suppose I have a point included in the man in a symplectic manifold. How is that the graph
of the same
Lagrangian?
I said a symplectomorphism.
There must be a point.
It has to be of the same dimension. If you have two symplectic manifolds of the same dimension, then
yes.
Their graph is
yes.
Right? Locally, that's a symplectomorphism.
Yeah,
and
it's the same dimension, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, so you take the
minimization. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Is this the?
I'll explain what this inclusion is in a second.
So we have a local symplectom.
Yeah, you have a local symplectomorph. This is an open set.
This polygraph contour separation is like the toda, right? Open toda?
Yeah, it's going to be open toda. Okay, so this is what we wanted. So I want to try and describe what this mirror is. And I want to claim that you actually can check the conjecture that from this correspondence, I could get this inclusion like through some other mechanism. So it seems as though so assuming that this correspondence corresponds to that functor in some way, like it seems as though Telemann's thing is correct. But I have to explain this.
This is a more complicated version of the bifundamental interfaces at some point.
Yeah.
And then you had minus one.
Exactly.
Sure.
That's why I was interested in them. It's because I watched them.
But then we failed to find a mass between UI and UN minus two, say.
No, I think we can do. Oh, sorry.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know what to do when I have. No, I think I know what to do now.
You can compose. I guess.
Okay. Well, we can talk about this later. I think I know how to do this. Okay, yeah. So we need another description of the BFM space in order to do this. Yeah.
Something strange is happening in my brain if I let L be equal to T. Because I'm not actually sure how the cotangent to torus is mapping to.
It's very complicated.
Okay, it's like, okay, so this is not like a. There's not like some obvious map between.
No, so I'm gonna have to explain like another description of these spaces.
Right, okay.
And then like in terms of that description, we will be able to see what this inclusion is, but it's highly non-obvious.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right, like there's not, it's not like.
It's not really like the entire like mech,
yeah.
The entirety of Li T somehow like winds up mapping to like the open like dominant.
Yeah. So this thing is like non-trivial.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the toda isomorphism? So the toda isomorphism tells you that T star reg G. I'm just gonna drop off the Langlands duals for this whole time.
It's fine.
And then you can put them back on. Is the same thing as T star G double Whitaker reduced by N. So I have to explain what this is. And before I had a B plus, and then I want B to be opposite parabolics. And then I want N to be the unipotent. So I had a B plus before. You asked me why did I write B plus?
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay.
And you don't like that.
Yeah. So, and psi is just the regular, where you. Take all of the principal roots, all of the characters corresponding to the simple roots and sum them up. Yeah. Like if I had an upper triangular matrix, just sum everything in this row, get some zeros, get some stars. A very bad 3x3 matrix. So something in N looks like this, and you just want to sum these entries.
Some positive sum of the roots that lie in.
Okay, so we have to prove this thing. Okay, so the proof, if you want to see it, is there is the n times n moment map fiber. Is equal to the set of all G psi such that that pi psi equals pi G psi z.
Sorry,
I'll tell you what pi is. Second.
Holds.
Sorry.
But in the GIT equation that you wrote above, are those both sides?
Right. Where pi is the natural projection from G dual. That's what the pre-image of the moment map looks like. And then the thing you have to check is that this is regular, or that all the psis in this set are actually regular. Claim T is actually instead of T star negative G. Okay, and then he claims that you can do the following, that the following correspondences will give you the isomorphism. So he claims that if you build T star, so if you take the B, T star reg, G mod G, then we had the Z reg correspondence, which goes to T star. Reg G. And this thing goes to basically, like what we've proven, like this statement says that if I had just wanted to do the reduction, the regular guy, like I would have been fine. And so this is just that same correspondence as I was using before. Right? Anytime I have a Hamiltonian reduction, the moment map image gives me a Lagrangian correspondence. This one's giving me a Lagrangian correspondence. And the claim is that this composition is isomorphism. Right, that gives me a Lagrangian correspondence between these things, and you have to claim that it's one to one, or sorry, that it like one that it's actually the graph of a map.
Right. Okay.
And then that map is an isomorphism. That's not clear, but that's like
that's the content.
Is the sort of an equation picture the one on the right?
Which one?
And M psi distance E M psi.
Yeah. This is. Yeah.
Solution sum equation.
Yeah, this one's, yeah. It's just actually showing that they coincide. The solutions, the null equations coincides with this.
Yeah.
Which isn't immediately clear.
What was the physics equation just said?
That this space is the solutions, the non-solutions. Okay, and so now I can, now with this other description, one can try and write this space, write down this isomorphism. Or sorry, write down this inclusion. Although I'd kind of like to keep this on the board. So I'm just trying to look for a board that I don't want. And I kind of want all of these boards. So I'm kind of in pickle. Okay, so I'm going to copy this thing down. So I'm just going to remember that the TODA isomorphism is given by the M space for G. Then it's given by doing Z reg. So I'm just copying this so I can have a board. That's the TODA isomorphism, is this correspondence. Okay, and then now what I want to do is try and describe this inclusion. So this inclusion basically works in the following way. We're just going to use the Bruja decomposition. So now to construct EFM. L includes EFM. G. We decompose G as the disjoint union. I just want to check if I want to use NN double cosets or like NN plus double cosets. So I'm going to decompose this thing as NN double cosets. So you can write G so this is the minimal coset reps for W mod WL. So a minimal in the Bruja order. So then you can write this thing as U W P, where P is the parabolic that contains both L and U. Let's see. So then the and then, so then what one can show is that if you look at U, W naught, where that's the longest word in the vial group for G, and then look at the longest word in the vial group for L, and then invert it, that's one of these minimal coset representatives. And then mod out by P, one can show that this space is actually equal to the nilpotent for the Levy times the nilpotent for the Levy times W0, W0 naught, LC. Sorry, these things I guess should have all been, I don't need LC. These things are all, everything inside should be complex. All those groups should have been complexified.
I always forget that you were talking about real.
Well, when I'm on the Langlands dual side, everything is complexified, right? So this is all happening on the Langlands dual side, so all these groups are complexified. I wrote a C here for some reason in my notes when it's been everything's been complexified all along.
And I need to put double coset.
Yeah, and now I do the double reduction. So now, like, if you double reduce this thing on both sides, yeah, did I read that right?
Wait, what was NL?
It's the N inside the Levy. Sorry, give me a second. I can write this quite right. Oh, sorry, this isn't quite right. So this thing should be not the fiber product.
So when you quotient by n, it's
yeah.
quotient by nl.
Yeah, and this is like just some exercise in Schubert calculus. Like these things are just like some Schubert cells, and there's, I have this all written down in some very long note. But now if you double reduce by n mod n, the thing now becomes also the double reduction of nl. Let's see, so then why was this good enough? So if I had started with the cotangent bundle to this space, then I would also get the double Whitaker of the cotangent bundle. So the embedding is you use this isomorphism, the cotangent bundle of L NL is equal to the cotangent bundle to this horrible Hubert double reduced by N. So that's what you kind of get by following this thing through. And then this just naturally sits inside the double reduction. Yeah, I feel like I just like not very well. But you, and this thing is just the BMM series of G, right? By the Toda isomorphism. Really, I guess the G. Langlands stool is the way I've written it. And this is the one for G. Langlands. This is the G you're embedding. Or sorry, L. Langlands.
Yeah, this is definitely not Langlands.
Anyway, so what they claim is that this thing is the conjectural dual. And then maybe I will not trouble you with the thing, but now we have all the Lagrangian correspondences for this picture. And if you compose these Lagrangians, if you knew what Reich did, which would take me a long time to explain again, you'll find that you get exactly the matrix factorization model that she predicted. So that's his justification for believing that he found the mirrors correctly to these correspondences, is that he knows that this thing is supposed to be giving me this Fakaya category, this equivariant Fakaya category, at least when I vary all the mass deformations. And when he does this on the other side, he gets this Riesz matrix factorization. So therefore, his conjectures must have all been true, because it was a difficult test. Yeah, so let me, I can write down a sigma model that this thing is supposed to be coupling to. Not now, I mean.
Yeah. I just love that.
Yeah, it's like a, yeah, so sorry, yeah. So now I think the problem is to go sort of deeper into details.
Also, what I said is that if the relation between this S int and the parabolic cache interface in 4D, think about fitting to as a string with time.
Yeah.
With the parabolic induction.
Yeah, I mean, they all kind of come from the same. You're just saying like this, right? Let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying if you took 4D, 4D G gauge theory, which I can't draw very well, and And also 4D, n equals 4 for the levy. Yes. And then there's this...
then you put two walls of elements.
Yeah, two, and then, yeah, it'll let it to reduce. Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, the physical meaning of the parabolic induction interface is still also mysterious to me.
I think in the Langlands one, I think people know what it is. Or at the level of like the A twisted or B twisted theory.
Yeah, it has the following that is sort of there is an A to B version and B version which are
exchanged. Cool, right? Yeah.
And in one wonder, right, if it's non-pole descriptions.
Yeah, that's basically the way that's the way I've been trying to do it. But I haven't quite managed to pull it off yet. I've been trying to give a proof that way, but I haven't quite been able to make it happen. Yeah. Yeah, okay, we end.